All right. Well, welcome to Philippians 3. And looking back so far, Philippians 1 and 2. And as you, if any of you read ahead for 3, any things you want to, questions, comments, suggestions, concerns you have? I don't like when I go into a study or into a classroom or something and I have all these things I want to talk about, because I've prepped and then the teacher never gets to them. So I would rather make sure we take care of those things early on.
Can you tell us what the setting of this chapter 3 is? Is he still in is Paul still in prison? Is this a letter? What is the setting?
That's a very good question. The letter as a whole is supposed to be him from prison this whole time. However, if you look at verse chapter 3, I think 1 or 2, it changes. Mm-hmm. You have the opening, finally, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. So some people think that's the end of one of his letters. And then it begins, to write the same things to you is not troublesome, with the next verse in 3, which is actually all of the same verse. So 1a and 1b. If you separate a verse, you give them letters after it. So 1a is that opening line and 1b. Some believe that might be another letter that he wrote. Mm-hmm. But for the canon, and
the same thing happened at the end of chapter 3 as yep. to the first verse of chapter 4.
Yep. You'll see that a lot throughout Paul's letters, that they jump around. And again, for canon's sake, they just put them all together. So it's one letter to the Philippians. But good eye.
Mm-hmm. I found this message in 3 more difficult to understand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was just going to say that, because I listened to your recording before and the discussion and so forth, and then I read 3 and I thought, this is a more difficult one. I can understand the other two. And I thought,
right.
Kind of a mixture.
What did you recognize that was different about it?
Just the demeanor of it. I mean, just how, I don't know. I thought in some ways that maybe I've misread it, but it was like he was bragging. I don't know. How do I feel that way? Mm-hmm.
Did you have a chance? You were at worship on Sunday, right?
Yes.
And so I alluded to that as he is speaking against the religious leaders that he has a conflict with. Mm-hmm. One of the most difficult people to have a good theological conversation with is somebody who's a new convert. Because when they become a new convert, they grasp on to all of the laws and the rituals. And I've been told by people who are new to faith as they talk with me that, you don't know your Bible, because they assume what they've heard and the little bit that they've heard is everything. You've heard me use the phrase, there's too many people who know the Bible just enough to be dangerous. Paul fell into that camp as Saul, as a religious leader, mm-hmm. who interpreted the Jewish scripture as very rigid, of having to do everything. And then when he had his conversion experience, was welcomed into the Christian community, and even just that welcome, as I mentioned on Sunday, imagine someone who has been arresting and persecuting and even killing some of your fellow believers, and that person comes to your doorstep, how are you going to respond?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a great song. I've shared this in a message before. I don't know who the original author is, and I'm forgetting actually the songwriter that I have. And he talks about Ananias sitting by the window praying, where the Lord tells him, I'm sending Saul to your house today. And the Ken Miedema is, he's a blind pianist and lyricist and wonderful. You can look it up online. And you hear his song, and Ananias is sitting by the window praying, and he hears the Lord tell to him, I'm sending Saul to you today. And there's this pause. And then you hear Ananias say, I'm sitting by the window praying. Like, I'm not going to listen to that. That's not a prayer for me. So Paul's welcome into that Christian community and learns the gospel. Not only learns it, experiences it, and then goes out to live it. And so when he experiences these people that he's speaking about in chapter 3 that he calls dogs and so forth, he's speaking to those people that are condemning people who come to faith in Christ, and they want to put all the baggage of Judaism upon the new believers, including circumcision.
Mm-hmm.
Larry, I'm not sure about you. You know, I was not even 8 years old when that went through. And I'm so glad. I mean, could you imagine being an adult and being told you need to be circumcised?
Mm. Ouch.
And all the other regiments. I left out a story, I think I've shared it before, where I went to camp and we were we were given these pork chops that were dry. They were like, It was like pork jerky. And out comes two of the staff members with beef stroganoff. And I'm like, hey, how did you score that? You know, we don't eat pork. Oh, okay. Why don't you eat pork? Because it's in the Bible. You're not supposed to eat pork. And I said, well, as a Christian, we've done away with that. And they said, well, if you really want to be a good Christian, you have to follow all of the Bible. And I said, well, you're having beef stroganoff, so you should not eat beef with the mother's milk.
Right.
And that's scripture based as well. So the gravy that they're enjoying with their beef was against the Bible as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they didn't know that. So what did they do? They took the beef stroganoff back and came back with peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Wow.
Totally not wanting to learn the fullness of the story. And so when it sounds like he's bragging, he's making a point saying, you know my background. You know what my history is. And I've dismissed all of that. We'll hear that in the reading today. And Darren will speak to that quite poignantly about Paul saying, you have nothing on me. If I can get over this, you can get over this. The goal is to welcome all in Jesus' name. Does that help?
Thank you for that explanation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Any other things jumped out at you? So did anyone have fun with trying to write Jesus' story in 6 sentences? I will never ask you to do what I don't do. What are you going to say, Larry?
I didn't try to write it, but I looked at that poem in chapter 2 again. And then I remember during Lent, Easter lessons, Ephesians 2, 1 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
And when I read that during Easter, I thought, you know, that really strikes me as a concrete way of saying what our faith is. So.
Right.
It's different than this one. This one talks about the godliness, which
right.
is crucial in Christ. And that talks more, Ephesians talks about more about the salvation through Christ and forgiveness in through the gospel. And put those two together, then it's really more of a complete sentence in my perspective. So.
That's very good. Yeah. So there's more than one way to understand and to share the story of Jesus. We have that with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which is great too. Right. So I wrote this. Jesus was and is the living word made flesh, sent by God to save us from ourselves so that all might live in praise and thanksgiving for eternity. Trusting humanity, he was born of a virgin filled with the Holy Spirit. While we were still sinners, he forgave and healed us, welcoming all people. Condemned, crucified, and died, descended into hell, and rose again, defeating death for all who would not deny. He lives and reigns, God and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity, forever and ever. Amen.
Wow.
So that's my quick six sentences.
Very good.
I've done it a few times as I ask the kids to put things into their own words, and I just see what comes up each time I try to do it. So, and then you had the Athanasian Creed, and Marilyn, I got on while you were speaking or showing it.
Well, when I listened to that, it said that that you that it was in the old green hymnal, and I knew we had one, so I found it and looked it up, and it's on page 54. If any of you find your green hymnal, but reading it, I can see why that would be quite a task to memorize. But yeah, just the, and I can see why maybe they dropped it too, I guess.
Well, they didn't drop it. They just left it out of the new hymnal.
Left it out. Yeah. But yeah.
But I read it and looked to me like that's the best description of the Trinity, the relationship between Triune God, even though the word Trinity is not in the Bible. This really explains, you know, the different versions of it and coming through and how the three relate, being three separate identities and yet not being separate identities. Yeah. I think that was good.
You can find it online as well. This is in the ELCA resources for creeds. Mm-hmm. But it is fun to have the kids look at this and cringe.
Did you have any takers ever?
I've never had a taker. So they've all enjoyed their full 2 or 3 years of confirmation, depending on what system we were using at the time. So, yeah, but I always share it with them.
Unless you say at the beginning of the year of confirmation, maybe it's someone, it would really, it'd be something.
Yep. And the repetition of it too. Did you find that, Larry, as you read it?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Which makes it actually, I think, harder to memorize because you get lost in it.
Order. Yeah.
All right.
I have a question.
Yes.
The petition about he descended into hell and on the third day he rose again. Well, okay. The descended into hell part, that's not the same as when he was tempted by the devil, et cetera, right?
No, that's the 3 days that we believe what he was doing after he died was crucified.
So 3 days of hell? Or do you see what I'm getting at? I've never really understood what that meant, and it just dawned on me right now. I really don't know what that means.
So if you read Psalm 139, statement, I can't remember what verse number it is, that where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go down to the depths of Sheol, I mean, if I go up to the highest heavens, you are there. If I go down to the depths of Sheol, the place of the dead, even there, I will find you.
Okay.
So there's nowhere we can go that there is no God. the
Psalm 134.
Psalm 139. And that's also a fun one when you read through it and then you get to verse 18 and it switches. See if there's any evil about me. And then he's like, I hate the wicked. Just the fun pieces of the Bible that are pieced together. So Trudy, to share what I've come to learn and trust is Jesus was the last sacrifice ever. Religions at that time were still sacrificing, you know, they would sacrifice the lamb for the Passover.
Right.
And they continued to do things in that manner. So Jesus, when he died, was that sacrificial, we don't have to do this anymore. It's been done for all time. And when we say all time, for the time before Jesus' life on earth and the time after. And so when he descended into hell, he was with all those who never knew Christ. So he became the salvation for Alpha and Omega from the beginning to the end. And I shared this in the Revelations. So I'm repeating myself for Gene and Larry, who participated in the Revelation text. There's a great cinematic recognition of that when Jesus dies, and this is the Mel Gibson, don't get into his politics piece of it, cinematic piece, where Jesus then descends into hell and the camera just runs quick speed to the face of the actor who was portraying the devil. And he has this great smile on his face, like, I won.
Jesus is
defeated. And as quickly as the camera went down to the face of the devil, it retracts and goes up and you see the devil just scream and you assume all those souls that have been damned are now released.
Okay.
And so, where can I flee from your presence? If I go down to the place of Sheol, even there you are with me. And that's how I understand Jesus being the savior of the whole world for all time.
Right.
Don't take my word for it.
We say the creed over and over, and every once in a while a certain few words or a word jumps out at you and what does that really mean? I've been saying this for years and there's no chapter about what that is, as far as I know. So does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Make sense? Yeah, okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So I have another then question tagged onto that. So if you are a non-believer and you die, does Jesus still call you from the grave?
That's my belief. There are lots of pastors who say, no, you have to come to Christ in your time. You know, while you are living, you have to make that profession. With Jesus and God, there is no time. I mean, they're omniscient, you know, all those O words that I can't come off my tongue very simply. But, and remember that God's time is 1,000 years to us and 1,000 years is a day to God. And so I give that all over to God.
Because I have heard other people say that they believe that the Lord still calls us to be saved from the grave. And to be honest, I had never heard that before.
Really?
I had never even thought that was possible. But now I do believe that's possible.
I always think that we don't know what that final breath is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we as an onlooker of someone that's dying or whatever, we don't know. And I witnessed that they saw Jesus. But I'm saying we don't know if someone doubts or whatever, we don't know what that last breath is. And so to me, that's a comfort to anyone that maybe is that everyone is saved in that at that time. We don't know. And so I guess that would kind of fit in the, with that.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Marilyn. And I mean, how many stories have we heard of end of life and people who have that near-death experience, and they all kind of have that same experience of a light? I went to a chiropractor. He found out I was a pastor, and I heard his story of drowning and seeing that light and then hearing a calling back. And he said, I didn't believe. I was a devout atheist, and that changed everything for me. That I was told, my time's not ready yet, go back. And he said, you know, Jesus says himself, I'm the light of the world. Light shines in the darkness. Darkness will not overcome it. So funny that so many people have that light, you know, being drawn to that light. I don't know.
Or they see a family member or something.
Right. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know my family.
They say a family member's name because it sounds to us like they see a family member.
Right. Yeah, I can't tell you how many bedside experiences I've had where you hear the name or you see a smile come over them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that happened to my mother-in-law. So.
Yeah, I know
something like that happened to my friend's mom, and you know, she had been really quiet while she was dying, and then literally her last breath, she said, "I'm coming."
Wow!
Yeah.
Wow! Yeah. Oh, that was Grant Ossing's mother-in-law, Judy, in Rice Lake.
Oh, it was okay.
After Grant's mother-in-law.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. Cool.
Mm-hmm. And apparently my grandma said mama when she died. So that's what my mom and her sister heard. So
I was fortunate blessed enough to be with both my mom when she took her last breath and with my dad when he took his last breath. And yeah, it's pretty awesome.
I have just even as a personal experience, I just had a brother, and the Mother's Day when the family got together, I don't know how we got into this discussion, but he told the story, and I remember hearing about it, but the first time he ever told it himself was that when he was four-ish, he and my twin cousins were playing, and they were playing in a back of an apartment building that had like an out exterior steps, and he tripped and fell and got his head caught in the rung, and he was getting blue, and luckily a man was coming out of the business in the walkout and rescued him. But my brother said he at that age saw a light and was comforted. So I don't know, he said he didn't know if he had seen Christ or what. But what the chilling thing was that he said at our luncheon, he said, I am not afraid of death. Well, that was Mother's Day. And a month later, he's a jogger, and he was killed by a car, ran into him. So, I mean, that was the comfort to our family, that we knew that he, you know, was ready or whatever. Yep. But that it was the first experience that I heard that someone saw the light before and then came back more or less. So that was, you know, at a young age saw that. So
yeah,
well,
very cool.
Thank you all for sharing this and the depth of our faith and the breadth of it. It's a beautiful thing. Why I do what I do.
And you do it well.
And as I said in my message, I looked at chapter 3, and what I really heard was the difference between the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. And what will you live in? And I heard Paul saying in this, I tried the letter of the law and it failed me miserably, creating enemies where there were none. And so now he lives in that spirit of the law, which then I shared in my message, where there's no separation in all the things that we use to divide us, whether that be gender or status or religion, you know, those all go away. Well, so we have enough time to talk following Darren's sharing. Would we like to start with that? Okay. All right. I think you're going to get a commercial for a second. I apologize.
Digital eye strain?
That's right.
Yep, I have been.
If you want to just put yourself on mute so we don't get feedback.
I'm not hearing anything, Rob.
We're not either.
Rob, we're not hearing the volume.
Yep. The problem was I muted myself and it took it away.
We can still read the Bible together. And
there you go.
Still expect God to speak to us. So quick recap. Yesterday we read chapter 1. And chapter
Wait.
1, we saw Paul.
What is going on here?
Introduce this book with.
Sorry about this. Now look, I'm hitting Philippians 3.
Jumping into chapter 3.
Here we go.
And there is a little section here that is extremely potent, extremely transformative if we let God really speak to us through it. So I think it's going to be a blessing for you. So stay tuned. First, we're going to pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this community that's gathering to read your word each day. God, I pray that you just quiet our hearts right now. Lord, I pray that you forgive us. God, we ask that you forgive us for the sin in our lives. Forgive us for where we put others in front of you. Other things in front of you or people in front of you. God, I pray that you just strip down our pride, our self-sufficiency. Today, just open our hearts to hear from you. I pray that your Holy Spirit speaks to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Philippians chapter 3. Finally, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. To write this again is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision, the ones who worship by the Spirit of God, exult in Christ Jesus, and do not rely on human credentials, though mine too are significant. If someone thinks he has good reasons to put confidence in human credentials, I have more. I was circumcised on the eighth day from the people of Israel and the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. I lived according to the law as a Pharisee. In my zeal for God, I persecuted the church. according to the righteousness stipulated in the law, I was blameless. But these assets I have come to regard as liabilities because of Christ. More than that, I now regard all things as liabilities compared to the far greater value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things indeed. I regard them as dung, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not because I have my own righteousness derived from the law, but because I have the righteousness that comes by way of Christ's faithfulness, a righteousness from God that is in fact based on Christ's faithfulness. My aim is to know him, to experience the power of his resurrection, to share in his sufferings, and to be like him in his death, and so, somehow, to attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained this, that is, I have not already been perfected, but I strive to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have attained this. Instead, I am single-minded, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching out for the things that are ahead. With this goal in mind, I strive toward the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let those of us who are perfect embrace this point of view. If you think otherwise, God will reveal to you the error of your ways. Nevertheless, let us live up to the standard that we have already attained. Be imitators of me, brothers and sisters, and watch carefully those who are living this way, just as you have us as an example. For many live, about whom I have told you, and now with tears I tell you that they are enemies of the cross. Their end is destruction. Their God is the belly. They exult in their shame, and they think about earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we also await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform these humble bodies of ours into the likeness of his glorious body by means of that power by which he is able to subject all things to himself. Okay, that was Philippians chapter 3. And there's a section that I'm going to reread to you right now. We're going to read it in a different translation. Listen to this again. We're going to start at halfway through verse 3. And I'm reading now from the New Living Translation. We put no confidence in human effort, though I could have confidence in my own effort if anyone could. Indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees, who deemed the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. So apparently there is some people that were claiming credentials, claiming authority based on what they've done or what they've earned, based on their own works. And Paul's coming in saying, if anybody could do that, I could. Here's my resume. Okay, so take a step back. And now watch what he does next. Verse 7, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I love that. In the NET version that we read, it says, I count it all as dung, as the excrement. This is an incredibly graphic picture. And sometimes we might want to tame that, as the New Living tames it to be garbage, and ESV calls it refuse or rubbish or something like that. But the word can span anywhere from dung or excrement through trash. I think the point is clear, though. when we take that visual picture, all of these things that Paul has done in his life, he is the cream of the crop. So today, I can imagine claiming that, you know, I've gone to Harvard, I have this degree, I've done this or that, I am you name an occupation that you find prestigious, whatever it is, all of that means nothing compared to knowing Christ. And I wonder today if there's something in our mind that maybe we're thinking, oh, if I only get to this status, if I only get to this, if I can only earn this or have this family or have this car or have this home or something of a worldly accomplishment that feels like we've arrived, we've accomplished something, we're proud of this. I wonder if you could think of something like that in your life. I want you to take that and now realize that Paul is comparing that to dung. He's comparing that to waste. He's saying that doesn't mean anything compared to knowing Christ Jesus our Lord. Do we value knowing Jesus so much that it is prioritized above all of these other things in our life? I'm guilty of not doing that. There are times when I don't prioritize knowing God the way I should. But when I read this little passage, I'm convicted and I want to just crawl onto my knees and just ask God to give me a hunger to know him more. Knowing him is worth so much more than anything this world can give us. That encourages me today. That even more than encourages me, it challenges me. And I hope it does to you too. I hope that God speaks to you about things in your life that maybe you're trying to earn your own way. And there's a corollary to this too, that the story of the gospel is that we can't earn our way to Jesus. It's that it's about what he has done, not what we have done. And we receive his gift. It doesn't matter that we need to clean ourselves up or earn our own status. It's taking on Jesus' righteousness. That's good. That's convicting me today. Send us a message or leave us a comment and let us know if this spoke to you today. I know this speaks to me. So have a good day. I'll see you tomorrow. Well, I won't see you tomorrow. It's the weekend. But we'll see you Monday. Find a church this weekend if you don't have one already. If you need help, give us a message and we'll connect you with somebody wherever you're at. All right. God bless.
Questions, comments, suggestions, concerns?
It's a pretty powerful message that what he went over, I thought. Just how insignificant things that I dream of are. The things that I would like to have or have done compared to knowing the opportunity to have Jesus.
I liked his statement. Do we prioritize knowing Christ?
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the things, oh, well, when I retire, I'm going to go to Bible study. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to study the Bible. I'm going to read daily devotions. I'm going to, you know, whatever. And I mean, I guess it's been more since COVID and you're at home that I've brought that to a smidget of fruition, you know, because it seemed like everything else, there was nothing else but to delve into the Bible.
Do you see why I like to go by Rob?
Yeah.
Sort of.
Because I don't do what I do because of my job. It's just who I am. And that's what I want people to see. And I get so frustrated with some of my colleagues who wear their collar 24/7 because of the authority they believe that gives to them. And I personally have seen it do the opposite, where the conversations that people with a collar have are much different than the conversations I'm privileged to have by mm-hmm. somebody sharing with me who they are simply because of who I am, not what I am. And that was one of the first struggles that I had with the new senior pastor at Bethlehem when Chris Nelson sat me down and something had happened. It's a different side. And he said, well, when you're a senior pastor, and I don't know what he said after that, and he got done with his little tirade, and I said, what makes you think I want to be a senior pastor? Because he had finally arrived. He was an associate pastor prior to taking the call as senior pastor. And it was fun helping him re-engage as his own person, and he admitted that, than this figure that he was trying to live up to of what he thought was the right thing to do as a senior pastor. So I don't mean to offend anyone in that. It's just, I love when I have conversations and all of a sudden, you know, they're sharing and, oh, by the way, what do you do? Oh, I'm a pastor. Oh, and they usually swear, like, oh, shit. Sorry for everything I just said. I'm like, no, I'm glad you shared that. Why would it make any difference?
We had a pastor when we joined in 73, 73. And Pastor Eskrick. And I remember attending a Bible study with him, and he had said that he doesn't at the time would wear his collar on different occasions outside of anything functioning, because he would be approached and they'd say, well, now what do you do? And he'd say, I work for the Power and Light, he said, company. So, so I thought that was a good answer.
I might have to steal that. That's perfect. So we've already shared this a little bit. What are the things that you put in front of Christ? What are the if onlys? Judy already shared, Larry already shared, others? Are you convicted by this?
Yes.
Are you upset by it? Do you feel like you're being judged?
More the other way, more that I'm judging myself in the sense that mm-hmm. I'm not fulfilling my calling or, as Judy said, prioritizing Christ.
Wow. I fail miserably.
Right.
By not prioritizing. I'm my own worst critic in that regard.
Oh, Trudy, you're on mute. Thank you.
Thank you. I was just going to say, we know we fail, but I'm trying to get at, we can't beat up ourselves so much and so often. We have to know that we're forgiven, and we have the opportunity every day to try again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
And yet I thank God that I have those thoughts of feeling guilty, because thank God that you do have that, still that sense, that closeness, that you need that comforting word and that kind of thing too. So as you say, of beating up, you know, versus just being resistant to those thoughts of, hey, you know, return to me type thing. So.
Right. No, I appreciate your point, Marilyn. And I've been doing some therapy and stuff lately, and a big theme has been don't beat yourself up, or don't beat myself up. So trying to grant myself grace and others grace, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of where I'm coming from with my comment there. So.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. And remember, we get to this because he's responding to people who were beating up other people for not living up to what their understood way of life should be. And but Paul's putting that all aside. Jean, any reflections?
I needed a reason to feel blessed by age. So I think as I retired and I now have fewer goals and fewer stresses of society and fewer things to point at and say, oh, I need or I want. Mm-hmm. I am blessed with the ability to look back and realize that I have been so blessed. And I continue to be blessed. And if I crave anything, it's craving good health so that I can enjoy the privilege of this time. Mm-hmm. And to have come through this virus and not so far have gotten it. Mm-hmm. It's another reason to stop and just praise Jesus that we are all well.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I guess things are quite unimportant. Mm-hmm. When I look at the younger people and understand the stresses that they have as families, it puts a different light on things.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So may you all be blessed with age.
We're there too, so.
We're there. I'm there. I'm there. Good thought, though, Jane. Jean. See? Yeah. There's my age creeping in.
I know what you call me as long as you call me.
And I go back to Luther's priorities. He spoke of the fact that our first priority should be God. Our second priority is family. Which was a major change for him, going from being a priest to being a husband and a father, and so many of his colleagues of old felt like he was going to suffer because of that. Mm-hmm. And then came his vocation. Mm-hmm. And then he flipped it around, or I heard another preacher say. So our vocation is that in which we are able to care for our family, so in doing so we are honoring God. So it goes both ways. As you put God first and concentrate on your family, that gives you reason for your vocation, because then you can care for your family and honor God. Goes back and forth. The old midrash of the Jewish wisdom says truth, something is true if it can be true both ways. And so that speaks to that. Mm-hmm. Any other questions, comments, suggestions, concerns? So a little preview for next week is you'll hear this in a recording from Darren, and it'll be fun. This is probably the most most dense chapter of memorized verses in all the Bible.
And it's shortest?
And it's just, you know, yeah, just chapter 4. And so I would love each person to identify which verse speaks most to you. I mean, there's lots of people who have their life verse come out of Philippians chapter 4. Are you looking at one on your wall right now, Judy?
Yeah. Yeah, but mine is "Be still and know that I am God."
Oh,
Psalm
46:10.
Yeah.
So,
I know my daughter's is from Philippians, though. So we're meeting on July 15th, Rob.
Yeah. So this coming Sunday, giving Sean a bit of a break. He's already put together the worship service that'll be previewed on Sunday. He's heading up north with extended family. So this took that off of his plate. The Minneapolis Synod is providing our online worship. I did a little lead into that. And then we will have our worship Sunday in the parking lot. And I'll speak a few words. I'll quote Pastor Chapman on a few things, but in the verses that were chosen by the senator, it's actually the Reformed Common Lectionary that they worked off of. I like the end of that reading more than the rest of what he talked about. So I'm glad I can share a few words too. And if you're there, you can welcome my neighbors, Rick and Neil, who will be providing one of the pickup trucks and driving another neighbor's pickup truck that he gave to me. So we'll have all three vehicles there.
I was going to ask you, Pastor Rob, when I exited on Sunday, that neighbor of the exit side, you were talking to her. Was she listening? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I was wondering what the neighbors think of the outdoor worship, and I was just wondering if it was a we took it as it was a positive thing, but you know, by looking at your communication, at least. So, but I was wondering about that.
Yeah, her name's Anya.
Uh huh.
She actually, her family attends Oxboro Baptist Church, mm-hmm. and Ooh. they've opened up where you have to register to go in, and so. Her mom registers and goes to church, and she said, I really like just being out on the front porch. I like what your message is. It's short and to the point. Complains that I speak too long. Go to a Baptist church. And so, yeah. And that's where I found out that we had not put the download for the bulletin.
Oh.
Because the week before... when she was sitting on the porch, my wife talked to her.
Right.
She said, you can get the bulletin on your phone.
And right.
She looked it up. So we'll make sure it's there this week.
Good.
Because I know in past we have had like door hangers to the neighborhood and that, and I don't know how long it's been since we've done that. I can't. But at one point in time, years ago, we went around the neighborhood and canvassed and, you know, for that very same reason, you never know. But at least with the mobility and the new, you know, transition areas where older people are now retiring, selling their homes, and we get young people in. And so, anyway.
Yeah, I walked the street, Irving, and then, what is that, 101? 101st Street. Mm-hmm. So that they know what's happening if they hear our worship, and so
bird clock.
I was gonna say Larry's not outside tonight. Usually, no. Birds sharing.
I was laughing because normally we have when I did see him out there when I came home from a function. Normally, Mr. and Mrs. Cardinal come out to feed, but they're delayed because he was there.
Sorry, that dumb clock. I didn't take it down today.
That's fine. So anyways, yeah, it's a lot of fun. And yeah, this understanding of scripture, bringing us back to the very beginning, can give us hope to speak to anyone and just give it over to God, and how we, that releases me from how many souls have I saved to how many seeds did I plant. Mm-hmm. And we must be done because Jean's returned from the beach.
You figured it out.
Yeah, to try to figure it out before we disconnected, because you have to be in Zoom.
Oh,
figure it out. Pastor, you missed my story. We had a birthday party for Deborah a couple days ago, and we gathered the family on Zoom. And my daughter was playing around with me and my computer, and she put her background on and didn't take it off. I tune in today, and there I am back in Hawaii.
I was impressed.
It was nice.
Yes.
Michael met from San Francisco, where the Golden Gate Bridge was in the background.
Oh.
And as he moved his chair forward and backward, it looked like he was out in the water. It was
cool. Are you meeting next week, the 8th, or no?
No, so the 8th, we're not meeting because it's not a continuation of Philippians. We'll do the Philippians 4.
In 2 weeks.
The 15th?
15th.
Okay.
Right. 15th, yep. And it'll be the, so this week our reading is not Philippians. For Sunday.
Oh, you're coordinating with the Sun. Okay.
We're coordinating with the Synod.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but if you want to do something on Wednesday night, you can go to Atonement and their website. They're doing their campfire worships again virtually. So, I took that week knowing that I didn't have Bible study to help them out.
That's kind of you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you all, and
thank you for your time and explanations.
Oh, yeah. I love doing this, and my hope and my prayer is when you're done, you feel like, oh, there's enterthebible.com, and there's workingpreacher.com, and there's all these other resources.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Serendipity Bible. How many of you have used one of those before?
Yeah, but I wish I had read Larry's has so many more versions than mine. I think I would have understood it more had I read the Living Bible as he did on the lesson today. So I would have understood it more.
That was one of my notes is the other reason I go by Rob is because we're the priesthood of all believers. And as I say often, then I'd have to say Minister Trudy and Minister Judy and Minister Dean.
Don't, please.
Every member is a minister. Thank you for the ministry that you do, where God directs and guides you, and that you have that opportunity to do that. So it's to equip the saints to go and share the good news. And I hope that in our conversations, that's what happens. So I'm still looking for, I forgot to share this. I'll share this in the coming weeks. But if any of you feel so moved to talk about how you've been transformed by faith, we'd love to have you share your story. So. With that, Judy, you had us pray the Lord's Prayer out last time. Who do you want to invite to pray us out this time?
Oh, no, you're not catching me with that again. I'm not volunteering anyone.
No, don't volunteer anybody, but that's where you volunteered. But this one, it's mutual invitation. When somebody does something, then they can invite somebody else to do it. So you've already done it.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
Yep. So who do you want us to pray out?
You're looking at me?
Yeah.
You want me to pick someone to pray tonight?
Yeah. It's called mutual invitation. You've already done it, so you can invite somebody else to do it.
Boy, pressure. Larry, how about you, buddy?
Dear Lord, thank you for the opportunity to read your word, to hear your word, to understand your word, to struggle with your word. Thank you for the saints. Thank you for Paul in his writing to the believers and the skeptics in his world, and help us as we go out and minister and try to live our lives and that is worthy of Christ, as hard as that might be, and help us. Help us to set our prioritize knowing Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Larry.
Well done, Larry. Thank you.
Thanks, Larry.
Well, have a great Independence weekend.
You too. And
thank you.
If you're able, let it include worship either online or in
So we can have fireworks on Sunday morning or?
No, I'm not really a fire and brimstone kind of preacher. All right. Blessings.
All right. Bye. Bye. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye.